Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jordan Davis could tell everyone he's the man. What a day yesterday for the Eagles' young defensive tackle. I think he might win Defensive Player of the Week and Special Teams Player of the Week. Fourth down stop, the chase down on Matthew Stafford, and of course, the block field goal and return for the score. Let's talk to the guy that was on the call for all of it yesterday in one of the great comebacks in Eagles history. Merrill Reese has caught a lot of those comebacks. I'm curious where yesterday ranks in his mind. Merrill, how you doing today?
I'm great. I'm like everybody else, great. But you know what? If they had converted that field goal, if the Rams had made that field goal and beaten the Eagles, I would have felt badly, of course, about the loss, but I was still going to be proud of what the Eagles did. The fight, the comeback, the poise, everything they did, it showed you so much about the heart of this team.
Merrill, I agree with that. They did fight, and it was an enormous second-half comeback. Even if that field goal went in, we would have walked away and said, you know what, they're not perfect, but boy, they have some fighters in there. But they did get the victory. Merrill, we'll get to a lot of the reasons why. Let's start with the final play and that player yesterday. Merrill, Jordan Davis, you know, first-round pick 4 years ago, and I would say his first few years here, okay, not great. Not maybe what you would hope for out of a high first-round pick. But Merrill, we heard about his weight loss. Hugh and I got a chance to sit down with him in training camp. He seemed different in terms of his maturity. He's been excellent the first three games. And that yesterday was one of the great games I've ever seen in defensive tackle have overall in one game. He was everywhere yesterday.
I agree. That was a magnificent performance in the way he fought and blocked that last field goal. Just amazing.
Well, and then earlier in the game, he was part of that fourth down stop when the Rams went for it and ran the ball around midfield. He stopped him there. And then, Merrill, he had that chase down of Matthew Stafford
right after
the Eagles scored to make it 26-14. It was third and two. And who knows? I mean, if the Rams convert there, maybe they kick another field goal. Maybe they score a touchdown. Maybe the game is different. But that was a very athletic play by Jordan Davis to chase down Stafford there.
It was. And, you know, he ran almost 53 and a third yards, which is the width of a football field, 53 and a third yards. He went from one sideline to the other, and it was amazing how he caught Matthew Stafford.
It was awesome. Merrill, let's talk about the quarterback. First half for the entire offense was not good. I mean, they only had 33 yards at the half. The Rams are up, and then the second half starts, and Jalen gets hit, and he fumbles. Rams pick it up. They score, and it's like, oh, boy, this is not going well. And then from there, it's like something clicked because they went on three long scoring drives, including the final one, and you called it to get them the lead there. Merrill, what did you see with Jalen and the offense when it changed in the second half?
Well, Jalen's an amazing guy. He has that short memory. He forgets about the play before it moves ahead, and he's so gutsy and so tough, and he sees everything. He's an inspiring player to be around. He is absolutely unbelievable, and he's got such poise. And you saw it on that fourth and goal from the four. That was the game right there.
Mm-hmm.
If that play doesn't work, the game's over. And he threaded it to Devontae Smith. He was just absolutely unbelievable how he took charge. It kind of reminded me, and you talk about great comebacks, of the one on December 19th, 2010, when Michael Vick took them back against the New York Giants to win that game. They trailed something like 23-0 at the half, but the second half was just incredibly different. But that was the kind of thing, kind of show and performance he put on.
It is an interesting comparison. So, Merrill, yesterday was the biggest comeback since that game, biggest regular season comeback since that Giants one. And, Merrill, a couple moments from yesterday that are pretty reminiscent of that one against the Giants. First, it started, if I my memory serves, Michael Vick threw a pass up the seam to Brent Celek for a touchdown that kind of got things going.
54 yards.
Yeah, and yesterday was to Dallas Goedert for the 30-something yards for the touchdown. And then Merrill, of course, that game ended on a walk-off special teams play, Deshaun's punt return, and yesterday ends on a walk-off special teams play as well, Jordan Davis. It is amazing the parallel. Sometimes these comebacks, they're kind of similar, and that one I hadn't thought about. I knew it was the biggest one since then, but Merrill, until you said that, I hadn't thought about how similar it was, and Michael Vick was great, just the way Jalen was great yesterday.
The only big difference was that after they scored on that 64-yard pass to Celek, they recovered an onside kick by Riley Cooper.
Yes.
David Akers on an onside kick.
Yeah, special teams always seems to be part of these comebacks. It has to be when you need to get the football back or make a big play. Merrill, yesterday was finally, as well as the passing game opening up, A.J. Brown has his first big game of the season. And Merrill, it felt like he kept making huge plays, like third and tens when you got to have it. And he's just money on those where he kind of boxes out the defender. Great day by A.J. as well yesterday.
Great day by A.J. Great day by Devontae Smith. Great day by so many people yesterday, just the way they gutsed it out and fought their way back and refused to lose.
Merrill, we were workshopping this before the show today, just trying to think of the last time the Eagles lost a game when they had most of their best players. You know, we could take out Jalen getting hurt in Washington last year. Early in the season, they missed A.J. and Devontae and Lane. Merrill, it's been over a year since this team has lost when they've had their biggest stars on the offensive side. This is the best run in Eagles history, and it keeps getting better. It really is amazing to watch what they've become. They just don't lose.
Well, the amazing thing to me is that they have won 19 out of the last 20 games.
Yep.
I mean, that is almost what a dynasty does. And I'm not about to say there's a dynasty in the National Football League because they haven't won three straight Super Bowls or done anything like that, but this team has been very, very good. It's been great for a long time now. 19 out of 20, and they've won now 12 straight at the Link.
They have. They're great at home. They're great in these clutch moments. And Merrill, they get another big one this coming Sunday. We head down to Tampa, a place the Eagles have struggled in recent years, and they play a 3-0 Bucs team that is winning similarly to the Eagles, with some late magic with Baker Mayfield. Merrill, it should be a great one on Sunday as the Eagles try to go to 4-0.
And a great measuring stick, too, because Tampa is awfully good, and they're good there, and they're coming off of a really subpar performance. They could have lost that game yesterday.
Absolutely. It's similar to the Eagles, where they almost gave it away, and then they won it at the end with special teams. Merrill, we appreciate it. It's going to be a fun week around here, leading into a battle of more undefeateds this coming Sunday. We'll talk to you during the pregame on Merrill on Sunday, and we appreciate hopping on.
It's my pleasure, and it's a great day for Philadelphia. It really is, as far as the Eagles are concerned. The one awful thing over the weekend, of course, was the passing of Bernie Parent. And I knew Bernie very, very well, and he was just a wonderful, wonderful person. And there has been no greater, more iconic sports figure in the history of this city.
Merrill, well said. We appreciate you being on the show. Have a great week, and we'll talk soon. Thank you, Merrill.
Have a good one, Merrill.
See you guys.
There he goes, Merrill Reese. Merrill, who joined us yesterday, Hugh, right after we broke the news, unfortunately, on the pregame show of the passing of Bernie Parent.
Yeah.
It's just, he's the kind of guy, and I think I've seen it just everywhere. Anyone that's spoken about him or put something out there about
him.
Great
guy, man.
And when you met Bernie, and I met him a few times here and there at events, he made you feel like he was just a regular, fun, gregarious guy, not Bernie Parent. Like, he's one of the great athletes in the history of the city, and you talk to him for a few minutes, and you're like, you almost forget who he is, because he's just
a down-to-earth guy,
exactly.
Man.
Exactly, yeah,
really down-to-earth. I remember, living on the boats, hearing some of the stories that he would tell us about living on the boat and all of that. He's just a really down-to-earth person.
Yeah, special guy, a special figure in this city for so long. Our hearts go out to his wife and the entire Parent family, a legend, a big figure in the history of hockey, in the history of the sport, but certainly the history of Philadelphia sports. Our hearts go out to his family on the passing of Bernie Parent. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Will in the Northeast is up. Hey, Will.
Oh, Dream Team, how y'all doing?
What's up, man?
Will, what's up, buddy?
Well, listen, you people laughed at me last week, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know what we laughed at.
Hold up. Let me cook now.
Okay, go ahead. Cook.
I said Jalen adjust to the type of team that we're playing, right? Right?
You did say
and
that.
I always said Jalen can get busy anytime he wants.
Anytime.
And it showed yesterday. Now, if you look on that sideline, when he was talking to the offensive coordinator, it looked like he was saying, this is the plays we need to run, and this is what we're going to do when we come out of this locker room. See, he gave y'all Clark Kent in the first half, and then Superman came out in the second half. That's who this man is, man. He's proven. Y'all crying about, oh, well, it took him a whole second half. Ain't that what everybody been asking for? They wanted to see if he could come back from a double-digit deficit.
Yeah, we talked about that a week ago or two, right? Yeah.
Let me cook.
Don't jump on him. He's cooking.
You let me cook. I got you. Because, listen, you was right along with it for a minute, and you agreed. And I agree with what you were saying. It was some conflict between him, Jalen, and the coach. But let me just say this. He came back. They designed plays for him to run, mm-hmm. right? He threw the ball. He did everything that everybody said he wouldn't do last week, right? So why are we still saying that he's not our guy? I'm not saying that. Why do we still doubt him? It shouldn't be no
but
doubt.
I don't know who's doubting Jalen Hurts today. I sometimes think we make things up. Who's doubting Jalen Hurts?
Let me say this. Next week, though, let me just say this about next week, okay?
Right.
This is going to be like the Pacquiao-Floyd Mayweather fight, right?
Mm.
Both these guys is battle-tested, and that's what I love about Jalen. These teams that he's been playing is battle-tested, right? So now, the way we win this game, and remember I said that because look at the Tampa Bay wins. We have to own the possession at the end of the game.
Well, they've won all three of their games on like 2 minute scores. I mean, they've led game winning drives to win all three games. Yep.
We have to hold that possession. And guess what? Like I said, the teams that we can run on, we're going to run on. But the teams that we have to pass on, which will be next week. And Jalen, listen, man, keep doing what you're doing, playing smart. And keep giving us wins, man. And guess what? E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles, let's go, baby!
Now we're talking. Will cooked, and he told you to pipe down over there, Douglas.
No, I was with him, but the floor is his.
Yeah.
We're all inclusive, so my bad, Will.
Yeah, well, I think he was upset that you were, at some point, I guess, a Jalen doubter, too, and he heard that.
I heard it. Yeah. I heard it, but that's not the case. I'm a truth teller.
I tell your truth.
I always believe in letting people live their own truth.
you started the show off with two, count them, two
conspiracy
ridiculous conspiracies.
I mean, but I think they're valid.
Mm-hmm.
I think the people that said that they were playing possum.
Well, the playing possum one is not. They know it's not.
They have the floor mm-hmm. here.
The possum one is a joke. The one about Petullo losing his duties may be right. I'm not. You could be right on
that. They have the floor here.
You could be right.
I'm saying I'm recklessly speculating.
Can I ask? This is my request. Last week I requested that Jalen Hurts let it rip. Okay, this week I request whoever the hell was calling plays in the second half.
Call him again.
I don't care if it was Jalen, Petullo, Big Dom. I want that person calling plays again.
The NFL kind of owned Big Dom.
Yeah, took some money out of his pocket.
Took some money.
Can't be texting on the sideline. You better watch yourself over there.
77K, though. Damn.
Yeah.
That's a nice little chunk taken.
Yeah. It's probably good you didn't go into coaching. Could you imagine the 77 grand out of your pocket?
Yeah, I had to go fight something.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good for you. Let's talk to Pat in the Northeast. What's up, Pat?
Yo, guess what happened? It was a bad first half, but guess what happened? They took him out the basket. They took Moses out the basket.
They took him out the basket.
We were waiting for it to happen. They took him out of the basket, yo.
They took him out.
A-G-L-E-S, Eagles. Yo, I'm so hyped. That was such a good game. Like, you know what I mean? I thought it was over like everybody else. Man, I'm surprised you couldn't hear me screaming from your house.
I think I did. I think we all did. Pat, you're not the only one who thought it was over. I mean, at 26-7, when the Rams score in the beginning of the third quarter, I think we all felt like, oh, crap. We haven't felt one of these games in a long time. It had been a year since we felt that bad.
Hey, they keep finding a way. That's all I need them to do. Just keep finding a way. Listen, have a great rest of the day. Victory Monday. Go Birds.
You got it, Pat. Appreciate it. Well, Merrill kind of walked towards a path, and then he said he didn't want to use the word or go there. But there is something to the way they've played over the last year that does remind you of the Chiefs the last few years, mm-hmm. right? Like, there's some, and the Chiefs weren't doing it in the middle of a dynasty. I mean,
chasing greatness, man.
Yeah. And it's at the point now, and I know Jalen's name comes up in this because he's the quarterback of the team, he's the leader. Mm-hmm. They do, the team led by Jalen does find a way to win no matter how the game goes. And it's, when it happens over three or four games, you're like, all right, that's a small sample. This has been going on now for a ridiculously long amount of time that almost no NFL team ever wins this much over this long of a period.
Unquantifiable intangibles.
Yep.
And, you know, I know people, you know, when I say that, you laugh. But there's something about him that's different. Even when he was on the sideline and they won, you know, you saw a bunch of different emotions from Jalen during that course of the game. When Kevin Petullo was sitting down, Black Gritty just showed me the clip.
Mm-hmm.
When he sat down, he rolled up on him and was talking to him. Don't know what he was saying, but he was very, very animated.
He was more animated than he typically gets on the sideline. Yeah, because he's usually animated. Stoic. Yeah.
Yes. And then you take that moment during the course of the game, and then when they actually win the game and everybody celebrate, he's just standing there, you know, like there was no doubt in his mind. Like he's different. And I think that when you talk about Jalen and you talk about his abilities, you have to put him almost in his own category. And I know for a lot of people that might be hard to do because it's, okay, Hugh, what is that category? Because, you know, you got Patrick Mahomes over here. You got Josh Allen over here.
Right.
And we know what their characteristics are. And Jalen's measurables might not be that. But when you look at his resume, when you look at the things that he's been able to accomplish, he's different. And that's where you have to put him in his own category. Try to tell y'all, like Optimus Prime, man, he wasn't a fighter back in the day, but he became the leader of the Autobots. It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, well, yesterday was the best half of football.
I know how you're feeling what do you say for what you saw?
Well, I'm trying to quantify the importance of them being down and him doing, because he's played some good halves, right? He had the game in the Super Bowl. He had the game against the Commanders. He had the Steeler game, the Bengal game. It might be the most impressive half since the Bills game a few years ago when they were down and he came back and he went shot for shot with Josh Allen in the second half and he had the walk-off touchdown. Because, you know, it's one thing to be up and play well, right? Like, he had no margin for error in the second half of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If Jalen has one bad moment in the second half yesterday, they're going to lose. Like, he needed to be fully on point. And I'm trying to think, in the second half, did he make even one bad throw? He had the one where the Rams almost picked it off and it was dropped. And then they punted after that. But other than that, he was perfect. I mean, the throws were accurate. Yeah. They were on point. He was great.
I mean, it's crazy to say he's won two championships and a Super Bowl. But, like, I might be the most impressive game of his career. I mean, not full game, right? Didn't play front to back perfect. Right. And we can recklessly speculate on all the reasons why. Playing possum and stuff.
I plan on.
Yeah, we can throw the possum thing out.
But, like, just in terms of a win, it's got to be the most impressive win of his career.
Well, I mean, you go think about the same team, what they were doing to him in the first half. Is it the most shocking win of his career when you consider the first half? I would say it was the most shocking victory of his career, considering how the first half went.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I just did anyone see it coming when he got splashed and he fumbled and it was 26-7 Rams? Did anyone see us having this mood today?
I'm surprised he didn't get his shoulder dislocated on a couple of them. Woo! Here.
Well, then to go to Kyle's point about the impressiveness, he did it without Lane Johnson.
Yeah.
Right? We always talk about how Lane is like, when he doesn't play, they lose. When he plays, they win. Well, he didn't play after the first series of the game, which makes the whole thing even just more remarkable. Let's go to Terrence in Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
Huge old Kyle. What's up, baby?
Terrence, what's up, pal?
Guys, that was a gritty championship victory yesterday. Credit Sirianni. Credit Petullo. Credit Fangio, because Fangio was getting whooped by McChoke in the first half. But in the second half, Fangio said, man, let me show you why I'm the godfather of defense. And, man, he let it on staff for them guys, man. But Jalen Hurts, man, that's my quarterback. That's my quarterback, man. It seemed like the first two and a half games, the Eagles were trying to continue this run the offense through Saquon stuff.
Yep.
As they did last year. But, guys, they may have to go to outside end. They might have to throw the ball to run the ball this year.
Yes, Seth. Someone was saying that last week. Throw the ball to back the defense off. Yes.
Yes. So, yes, it was ugly, but it seemed like they took the shackles off of Jalen, man. He was accurate. He was down the field. It's like they unleashed him because teams are going to make him throw the ball this year. Jalen playing that way, and they're going to make them stack the box so that
Saquon gets shut down, so they're going to make Jalen throw the ball, man. And also, guys, Jordan Davis, man, he has been our best defensive lineman all year.
He has.
Long.
Yep.
So far, it's like he's causing havoc. I saw him take down Stafford on the third down. He had a game-saving block running 19 miles per hour. And, man, he's becoming the leader of that defense, guys. Let me point something out. Brandon Graham has left. He has been, like, the leader of the defense. He kind of keeps Carter in, like, a safe haven. He kind of keeps them calm. Those two together, man, they could be a dynamic duo tandem for the next couple of years. And it's like Petullo, he unlocked Pandora's box. For Joe, Kyle, Hill, I want everybody to kind of simmer down on the Jalen Hurts slander because, guys, he took the two Super Bowls. He won his last 17 games.
But who's slandering Jalen? Everyone's happy today. He played great.
Even like the media outlets, they have to calm down. This guy won 17 straight games.
He's been with him. Terrence, good phone call. I'm just going to give a little PSA to everyone. When he plays great, we're going to say he played great. When they don't throw the ball well for entire games, I'm going to say they didn't throw the ball well. Do you realize how simple this is? Like, we overcomplicate
this. It's
super simple.
It's not simple.
When Jalen Hurts plays well, what does everyone say?
When he plays well, he balled out.
Right. When he doesn't, what do we say? He didn't.
He didn't ball out.
Like, when...
I hear you.
It's very easy.
It really is.
So if he goes to Tampa on Sunday and he throws like he did in the second half...
We're going to praise him.
Right. And if he goes to Tampa on Sunday and they throw for 97 yards...
Oh, we're going to kill him.
But then that's... You realize how simple
it is. It doesn't. It sounds simple, but it's not.
It really is. All right. Here's what else is simple. Howie Roseman, he may have saved himself like $100 million this coming March. That fifth-year option he picked up with Jordan Davis.
Smart man.
So Jordan Davis is coming back next year, $12.9 million, already locked in. And Howie, I think a lot of people, myself included, were like, man, that's a lot of money for a guy who hasn't played much.
And he earned it this year.
They saw something in his offseason that he was ready to go and ready to be different. We saw it when we hung out with him in training camp. He was awesome. And I agree with Terrence. He has been the best defensive lineman we've had for the first 3 weeks. 215-592-9494. All right, Hugh's going to break down, a big Hugh breakdown, on the biggest moment of the game next. And we'll recall a play that Hugh made in his career that was very similar. That is coming up. It is the Midday Show, along with all your phone calls, on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
This football season, where else would you want to bet other than with my friends at Fanatics Sportsbook? Fanatics Sportsbook is the home of fair play, protecting all pro football player prop bets across straights, parlays, and SGPs all season long from any first half injury. They were the first to protect you from prop bets throughout the first quarter, and now they've extended that protection throughout the whole first half. That's 30 minutes of player prop protection on all bets, whether it's quarterbacks, running backs, receivers, or even defensive players. Fanatics Sportsbook's fair play policy gives you the edge when it comes to cooking up a parlay. Why stick with a book that leaves you empty-handed when you can bet on one that has your back throughout the whole first half? If you want to protect your parlays from injuries, switch to the sportsbook that will always have your back across the first and second quarter for all pro football player games. Every single game, all season long. Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Joshua Cardi has it blocked again! This time Jordan Davis
The big man looks for the icing on one big cake. Eagles hang on.
That Joe Davis is good. He's good. Big Philadelphia moments. Joe Davis always seems to be around him. Welcome back. Midday
that was a
show.
Hell of a call too.
It was. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. All right, we're going to do a big Hugh breakdown coming up in a few minutes on the Merrill call. And then we'll kind of go back in history to when Hugh Douglas had a moment just like Jordan Davis's yesterday. First, though, whenever there's a big moment like yesterday, you get all the different calls around the sporting world. So we heard Merrill. We heard Joe Davis. You know what we got to hear. We got to hear our guys. This is Oscar and, of course, Ricky Ricardo, the Spanish call yesterday of the Jordan Davis block, scoop, and score.
Joshua Cardi, que ya hoy tiene cuatro field goals, pero uno bloqueado. 44 yardas bueno. Para ganar. Aquí vamos. Joshua Cardi. El estadio de pie. Cardi le mete el pie.
No,
no la bloquearon. La bloquearon.
No,
no, señor.
No, señor.
No, señor.
No,
va a anotar un touchdown. Va a anotar un touchdown.
Jordan Davis. Jordan Davis.
Jordan Davis bloqueó la bola.
Jordan Davis.
Y los Eagles van a ganar el juego.
Los Eagles.
Touchdown. Philadelphia.
Bárbaro, Ricky. Oh. Increíble segundo bloqueo del día.
Un touchdown. Recogió la bola después del bloqueo.
Se lo
llevaron a la casa. Oh, qué juegazo. Los Eagles ganan este juego.
It's a great call. I mean, it's my favorite Ricky call since. Since the double doink in Chicago, which was obviously an all-timer as well.
There was some no-senors in there.
You heard him. Oscar jumping in, and they were going wild together. Great call yesterday on the Spanish call. All right, let's also hear this. It's always fun to hear the heartbreak from the other side. So let's hear our send Rams radio network as their team went from up 19 to walking out of here losers yesterday.
Snap, hold, right-footed boot, blocked again! It's blocked again! The Eagles scoop it up! They're going the other way to clinch it. Jordan Davis returns it with an exclamation point. The Rams squander a 19-point second-half lead. They have their last two field goal attempts blocked. The first by Jalen Carter. This one by his fellow defensive tackle, Jordan Davis, who adds insults to the injury by returning it for a touchdown. Unbelievable. 33-26 is the final score. The Eagles rally from down 26-7. Let's gather our thoughts and take a timeout here. Coming back to finish things up at Lincoln Financial Field after this on the ESPN LA Rams Radio Network.
They had to gather their thoughts on that one.
Yeah, let's gather our thoughts and take a timeout here.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, because you like that's the equivalent of being in a prize fight where you won most of the rounds.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you get knocked out like towards the
boom.
End. Like, wow.
That'd be a long flight back for the Rams yesterday.
Yeah, because you had them on the ropes. You had this team on the ropes. One could even argue that at some point you took your foot off the gas. You know what I mean? When you start looking at the way you were playing. So it was a lot going on yesterday.
I thought, as we kind of unpack how it all happened, Hugh, I thought Stafford missed some throws yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
That there was a couple third downs in the first half where he missed, where he probably could have had Adams, and he missed them, and then they settled for field goals. And then remember the second half, they dial. I think it was right before Jordan Davis made the stop on fourth down. The play before, they dialed up a shot play, and Adams. I thought Adams had a step on. I think it was Quinyon, and. Mm-hmm. And I thought Stafford missed them. Stafford made some throws yesterday. He had the shot to Adams for the touchdown early that put them up. But I thought Matthew Stafford missed some throws. He makes those throws yesterday. The Eagles are probably in bigger trouble and probably can't come back. So there was, when a comeback happens like that, there's a million things that go into it. And the Eagles had it all go their way, led by their quarterback in the second half. He was awesome. All right, let's take a couple calls. Then we'll get to a Big Hugh breakdown on the Merrill call. And then we got to compare and contrast this to when Hugh Douglas had his career, only career touchdown back in 1996. Derek in Paoli's up. Hey, Derek.
Yo, what's going on? Yo, real quick, this is my whole thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Hurts, when he got interviewed, he said, we got to stop playing to not lose, right?
Yes, yes, he said that.
And then A.J. Brown said, we got too many weapons and dogs on this team for us to be playing this conservative. You understand what I'm saying? So that's pretty telling to me, right?
Are you on the speakerphone, Derek?
No, I'm not.
We're
good now.
No, I'm not.
He's good now. Derek, I agree with you. I heard those same things, and the Hurts thing stood out to me as well because it makes it feel like they thought that the play calling was way too conservative the first 2.5 games, and then it finally changed in the second half.
Hey, I mean, I don't know. I said, I just, even like, and I was talking to Kyle with the whole thing with the taunting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that play with what's the ball? Archie Manning, right? In Texas, he scored a touchdown, right? And he's jumping up and down, going crazy up in the guy's face. They don't throw no flag, right? And then in the NFL, if you do anything, celebrate anything, they throw you a flag for taunting. Like Nacua got one for taunting. I didn't even think that was that bad.
He
just flexed his muscles.
Yeah, I think it's
with Jalen Carter.
Yeah,
he was just like, you know, making a gesture all the way across the field. He got the same flag. I'm just like, these guys are grown men getting paid to play a sport, and they can't even like celebrate.
And it's an emotional game. Like, you have to assume they're going to have a lot of emotion. They're playing a tough game. Yeah.
Wow. But anyway, happy birthday to me, man. I went to the game yesterday, man. And
happy birthday.
That was a great present, man. I ain't gonna hold you.
Derek, happy birthday, man.
That's a great game to be at, man. Appreciate you.
How old are you, Derek?
51.
What does that mean, Kyle? What the all for? What are you doing?
Derek, good phone call, man. Happy birthday. Happy 51st. He was older than you. Don't worry about it. No big deal. That's a great birthday game to go to. I mean, that's.
Yeah, who's older than me? Oh, that's the game you're talking about? What you talking about?
There are some people older than you. Not. No. Yeah.
I mean, it's fine. Yeah.
I mean, what do you want to say? He's younger than you. That's a fact.
He is. Yeah. He's younger than me.
He's around your age. We'll just say that.
Yeah, we're around about age.
Yeah, close. Yeah. Over 50. No, but happy birthday, Derek. Appreciate it. Appreciate the phone call. Chuck and Manor. Hey, Chuck.
Yo, Gilio, what's the dealio here?
What's up, man?
Chuck!
What up, man? Listen, let me say this, right, real quick. Mm-hmm. Sean McVay is the most overrated head coach I've ever seen, you know, in the sport of the NFL. Everybody gives this guy so much credit. He had some boneheaded decisions yesterday. It had me scratching my head as an Eagles fan that I'm glad that he did because he gave us the opportunity to win the football game. But as far as, like, coaching, you know, he's a good play caller, but that's an offensive coordinator. I need my coach to be able to manage a football game, just like me. I was talking to Cal, and he doesn't manage a football game well for me enough. You know what I mean? And that's just what that is. You know what I mean? Nick Sirianni, 10 times out of 10, I take him managing a football game over Nick Sean McVay any day of the week.
Yeah, I think sometimes he loses me. Now, I think McVay's a good coach. Obviously, he's a championship coach. But he gets conservative in weird spots. I think he kind of opened the door, Chuck, for them to come back because, you know, instead of just going for the first down, he goes for the shot play and then they don't get it and then they got a punt.
Yeah. And then it was another fourth. He connected the decline of the penalty, which allowed the Eagles to go for it. Now, they didn't get it. They didn't get converted, but it was just like, why would you do that when you pitch your team in the advantageous situation to where as though, you know, you could have just accepted the penalty. They'd have been further back. It would have been third down, but it would have been out of field goal range. But I digress. He's a bonehead to me when it comes to coaching. But, I just want to say this, right? This football team, you know, and if anybody think that this team, you're going to come in here in December or January, whatever the case may be, and beat this team, if they get home field advantage, it's a wrap. And I'm going to tell you why. This team, not only they beat you up physically, not only are they tough physically, and they're talented, but they are mentally tough, man. I've never seen a group of guys this mentally tough. And when you go through years of watching the Joel Embiid's play and, you know, players like that, it's so refreshing to see a team and players like Jalen Hurts, who's probably one of the toughest mentally guys I've ever seen coming to the NFL and do what he does. And you got guys like, you know, A.J. Brown and Saquon, and, you know, just telling you keep your heads in the game. And then on the defensive end, you know, these guys like, you know, Nolan Smith, who's violent, man. It's Zach Bond, who's just a hell of a linebacker. These guys are tough, man. And any team that's going to come in here, you got to be ready and prepared to die for four quarters to beat this team here in Philadelphia. So if they get home field advantage, you might as well just pissing them back into the Super Bowl, because they're just a tough football team, and they're hard to beat, man. They wear you down physically and mentally throughout the game, and that's why it separates the Eagles from everybody else in the NFL. It's just they just in the class of their own because of their mental fortitude. You got to be ready, not only game plan against them, but you got to be ready to beat these guys for four quarters.
What?
And I don't think it's many teams that can.
I totally agree with you, Chuck. They are the best team. They're the toughest team to beat. I agree, Chuck. Good phone call. I agree that if they, you know, get themselves in position, home field, something like that, they're going to be really hard to beat. They have the best combination of roster depth of good players.
Mm-hmm.
Of not making mistakes, right? They don't kill themselves with a big mistake most of the time. I know yesterday they had a turnover, but they usually are pretty good in the turnover department. And Hugh, they always seem to win situations. Like they blocked two field goals. They didn't have any of their stuff destroyed on special teams. And they were better on third down, they were better on fourth down, and they were better in the red zone. Like if you do that every week, third down, fourth down, red zone, and you have the better talent, it's very hard to lose.
Man, I was just sitting there thinking, I'm like, man, they might have sent a message yesterday, because we all talked about, you know, going into this game, if we're being honest with ourselves, we didn't know what we were going to get from the quarterback because we haven't seen it this year.
Well, and I think the question was that would the passing game show up, and it took two quarters to show up.
Yeah, it was because we've seen it, but we haven't seen it this year.
Yeah.
And then you see the team go down the way that it did. You see what it looks like, recklessly speculating, Jalen take over the game and do what he did. And, you know, if you're looking at that, if you're another NFL team that's playing the Eagles this year, if I'm the Tampa Bay, I'm looking at that and saying, hey, we got to keep our foot on this team's neck.
Right.
They look different. That there's a tremendous amount of respect that goes along with the way that they won yesterday.
You almost have to play a perfect game to beat the Eagles right now.
That was a tremendous, because Sean McVay's they got a good football team, up-and-coming team. And for them to have that veteran quarterback to jump out on you like the way that they did, a lot of teams fold in that situation.
Well, think about the last two Eagles-Rams games. They've literally gone down to the last play of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, twice. I mean, that's the two teams. Now, they've gotten the games have been kind of weird and different, but they've literally come down to the final play of the game. All right, let's hear that final play of the game. We got to do a little Big Hugh breakdown here. Hugh, need you to break down the Jordan Davis play. The block, the scoop, the score. Here is how it sounded yesterday right here on WIP. Merrill Reese on the call.
The ball is spotted. The kick is away. It's blocked! It's blocked! It's picked up by the Eagles. Running with it is Davis. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Game over! Jordan Davis!
Are you kidding me?
Blocked him again!
Are you kidding me?
Blocked him again! Have you ever seen anything like this?
Do you believe in miracles?
The Rams are standing silent. They can't believe what just happened to them. Successive field goal blocks win it for the Eagles. What a great, great game. What a great, great comeback. And the final score is 33-26.
What a moment yesterday. Hugh, break it down. Jordan Davis with the block. And then I think he just took the ball out. I'm not sure if it was the kicker or the holder, but he just took it out of his hand and ran.
Well, somebody kind of stripped it, and the ball was bouncing on the ground. And you don't understand, like, when the ball's live like that, to have the ability, because he didn't miss stride. He didn't lose any momentum.
Hmm.
He was running up the field, and it was almost like the ball bounced in his hands perfectly.
Yes.
And he was able to pick it up like a little baby that he was saving, right? And he picked the little baby up, and he tucked it away. And then when he took off, man, he was rolling. Nobody was going to catch him, because when you talk about the fast guys, they were not in position to catch him. And the big guys, they didn't have a chance. And, man, the way he took off, it was just great to see. You know, you talk about a guy who – who has been here as long as he's been here, who's been ridiculed for as long as he's been ridiculed, to have the type of season that he's starting to have this year. I mean, it's really paying off for him.
It's awesome to watch.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is, man. It was fun to see that turnaround. I didn't think they were going to be able to do it. I'm not lying to you. When I looked at that, the score and the time on the clock and the way that things were going, I thought they might have a chance to get close. But I didn't think they were going to be able to take the lead, and they did exactly that, man. That was a hell of a game.
Amazing. The one thing that did go in, because nothing really went their way, but if there was one thing that gave you some hope that there was enough time, like when they fumbled to start the second half, they fumbled on their own 10, right? So the Rams went and scored right away. Like, let's pretend the Eagles had a little bit of a drive, 3, 4, 5 minutes, and then fumbled. And then the Rams got the ball back on their own 25 or 30, then had to go the length of the field. I mean, that might have changed 10 minutes of clock there. The fact that it happened so quick, it was like, well, there's still like 12 minutes to go in the third quarter. They're only down 3 scores. I didn't think this was going to happen the way it did, but it gave them some time, capped off by the Jordan Davis return for the touchdown. The heaviest player in NFL history to return a blocked kick 50-plus yards for a touchdown. All right, now, it wasn't quite the same, but there was a player, a defensive lineman, back in 1996 who scored his only touchdown on, I don't know, what was it, 65, 70, 60-something yards?
That guy was rolling.
Can we hear how that sounded? 1996, week 17. I mean, who would have missed this game? The 1-14 Jets, led by number 99, Hugh Douglas. Let's hear how it sounded when he scored a touchdown.
As they try to take advantage of the turnover by Krabbe. Drive, Miami fumbles the football. And number 99, Hugh Douglas, is up and running. And he's going to go all the way.
Was ever going to get to the end zone.
That was what they call
hate.
Wasn't
exactly being chased by any of the Miami players. Once he picked it up, he was gone. So a huge week last week by Douglas. And he gets the Jets on the board in dramatic fashion with a 62-yard.
Then we still lose that game, I think.
Oh, yeah, you dropped to 1-15. Now, before you break down how it happened, Max was able to put the video of it on our YouTube feed so everyone could watch you, which is a great job by Max. A couple things I noticed right away. You beat Jordan Davis by 1 yard. You had a 62-yarder. He had 61. So you win that battle. Watching Rich Kotite high-five everyone on the sidelines, and no one seems like they really want to high-five Richie Kotite. And then Jimmy Johnson is furious on the Miami sidelines. He is so mad.
What about you could hear all five people in the stadium going crazy for that game?
There's nobody there.
That's cold. All five people.
You were 1-15 that year.
Yeah,
dude.
Nobody was coming to. Fireman Ed probably was only him and his family members were the only ones in the stadium at that day.
I mean, look, I guess the draw is you get to go watch Dan Marino play football.
Yeah. It was probably the best thing that happened to me, getting going to the Jets, watching Dan Marino do his thing up close and personal. Yeah, that was pretty
so, what would you say? Top speed? Do you? And then they didn't have all this tracking back in the mid-90s that they do now.
I got to say, because Jordan was bigger than me. So I got to say, I feel like I was moving faster.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, because I was like, what, 265, 270?
Yeah.
I got to feel like I was moving fast. But, hey, listen, JD was rolling.
Davis would cook you.
JD was rolling. Yeah,
I don't think you were as fast.
I don't know about that. I think it's more impressive because he's bigger.
Hold on. He ran a 4.7 at 340 pounds.
And that's what I'm saying. Because he's bigger, it's more impressive.
And what did you run at the combine?
Like a 4.65.
Okay,
that's pretty good.
Hold on, you took point oh something off of it since the last time
I
asked you.
I put 0.5. So.
I'm gonna go find. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna do my Harvard study on this.
This is my truth.
You Douglas combine.
You think you ever reached 18.6 miles an hour? No shot.
I thought it reached about 20.
There's no shot.
I reached about 30 miles an hour at my.
There's no shot. Don't lie to everyone.
30.
Hey, I'm not lying. I'm living my truth. I am old. I'm allowed to embellish stories. You ever heard the stories about when people get a certain age and they talk about how they walk from 20 miles to school both ways? 10 miles there, 10 miles back.
Is that you?
That's the wheelhouse that I'm in right now. Mm. I can tell the story any way that I want to because I've earned that right as an OG.
The internet is telling me that you ran it in 4.76. I'm just telling you what.
I don't recall.
These
that.
Are the combine stats. 27 on the bench, 27 reps on the bench.
I don't recall that. That don't sound right.
Okay, I'm just telling you. It's what it says here.
I think I did like 30 reps.
They 45. Said 27. 45.
This is my truth.
You would have been a top 10 pick at 45. Yeah. Jeff in Wilmington. What's up, Jeff?
Hugh, I think you're onto something here with this Kevin Petullo getting the play calls taken away or whatever happened, dude. All I know is there was a period, I think it was after that 3rd and 15 where they ran the ball. And I could be wrong about the timing of this, but Jalen was over on the sideline in his face basically saying, look, dude, we can't keep doing it this way. And pretty much after that, midway through the third quarter, I guess, when they started opening it up. But there was something else that when I was listening to the game, Mike kept talking about it. AJ was being single covered most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, eventually they got to get the ball to him. And somebody finally saw that and said, hey, let's get the ball to, you know, get the ball to AJ, you know, because if he's being single covered, not many people can cover him in the league.
Yeah, just give him a shot, Jeff. I mean, and especially, you know, there were a few of those down the stretch where Jalen kind of threw it to him on a comeback route. They needed the 3rd and 10. And he's just so big that the corner was kind of in position, but he just, AJ boxed him out and he made the catch. Like that play is going to be successful almost every time.
Now, did you guys, when you're watching the game and that they were lining up for that field goal, I didn't think he was going to block it. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, I knew he was going to do it. What I was thinking was, all right, we just did too little too late, but I'm happy that they came back the way they did, and if we lose, I can live with it. I was certainly not expecting – so I'm listening to these games. I didn't even know Davis actually blocked it himself. Obviously, they called it and said he scored, but seeing it on replay, I'm like, damn, man, this dude just basically took over that play.
He did. Completely. No, Jeff, I didn't expect the block either. I mean, it would have been crazy to expect a second block in the same quarter. That so rarely happens. The one thing I was hoping for was because they blocked the one earlier that maybe he would kind of change his trajectory and hook it left. And who knows? I mean, who knows what would have happened? But yeah, here's what I was expecting. When they lined up, I was expecting moral victory Douglas to come in here and say, don't worry about the first half. They came back in the second. We're fine. Like that I was expecting one of those
is
days.
That what you thought?
Yeah, and we were going to argue about what was really more important, the second half or the first. But the fact that we're celebrating a win is just awesome.
Oh, no, you know, to be honest, Jeff, but to be honest, I was just going to come in here and I knew how it was going to be. It was going to be bad today. It was going to be a bad day.
Yeah, of course.
Real quick on the Football Night in America show, the host, she was doing a Zoom with Jordan Davis earlier in the day, and he basically said something like, "Look, they saw something, they knew what they needed to do to get in position to make that play," and then Jalen came in the interview and said, "Yeah, we knew he was going to block it." Right? All right, man, that's cool, but obviously they knew what they were doing, and they put themselves in a position to get that done. So I give him credit for that.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I mean, it's a great job by Michael Clay, the special teams coordinator, and obviously Davis having the athletic ability to do it. Jeff, we appreciate it, man. Good phone call. 215-592-9494. We'll get everyone's phone call up. It's a special day. It's a fun day as the Eagles come back, one of the great comebacks in franchise history. Plus, we'll dive into really what really happened with the offense. Conspiracy Douglas over here and what A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts had to say about it. It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.